It is my joy to welcome all of you into this time of worship. Whether you are joining us online or here in the sanctuary, I'm so glad to see you and to welcome you into this time together. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us for the very first time. I hope you feel welcomed, feel the Spirit of Christ in this place, and that you have a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you this morning. If you're in the sanctuary, I would invite you to take just a minute to sign in. Their registration pads are at the end of each row. If you'll sign in and pass those down. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the browser, then that's how you register that way. If you'll pay attention to the names of the friends sitting with you on the row this morning, when you pass the piece, that'll give you an opportunity to meet someone new today. There are lots of announcements printed in the bulletin, and hopefully you'll take a few minutes to read all of those upcoming opportunities for growth and worship and service. Just a few I want to highlight this morning. We are in need of a few more folks to teach children's Sunday school once a month or twice a month. I put the guilt trip on the 845 group because we had a baptism, and I said, now y'all promise when there's a baby that you're going to do everything you can to help raise this child in the faith. And so that's part of our baptismal vow, to help raise children in the faith. And so if you feel led, I did get one after 845, so if you feel led to do that, there's information in your bulletin on how to contact Maggie and learn more about that. Next Sunday is a big Sunday, a Jubilee Sunday for us in our congregation. It's Promotion Sunday for grade level ministries. We'll have lots of fun activities for children and youth. We'll be blessing the backpacks and blessing the beginning of a new school year during worship. And we will have Bishop Kenneth Carter from the Western North Carolina Conference with us to teach adult Sunday school and to preach and to launch us into the New Testament with the Gospel of Matthew. So if you're able to attend in person, this would be a wonderful Sunday to be here in person, to invite a friend or a neighbor, and let us celebrate. Let's celebrate big next Sunday. Also, next Sunday in worship, we will begin offering in the Narthex and in Reed Hall some sensory bags for youth and adults. Our youth went on a youth trip this summer and experienced in several of the places they went these kinds of ministries for folks who may be neurodivergent and for whom it may be helpful to have some of these things. And so those bags will be available in the Narthex and Reed Hall alongside the devices that assist with hearing the service. So more and more ways that we can include everyone in our time of worship. Well, this is it, y'all. We've been working our way through the Bible, and this is the final Sunday in the Old Testament. So we're going to hear from the prophet. May we say rejoicing, how wonderful it has been. Someone in Bible study said he had a friend who said, I've read through the whole Old Testament. I made it all the way to that Italian prophet, Malachi. So it's Malachi, and he's not Italian, but he has some things to show us and teach us. So let us open our hearts and minds to hear from the prophet Malachi this day together.
Oh, please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of all creation, your prophets called us to live lives of repentance and justice, be voices for hope to oppressed people and call out the oppressors. Help us to have ears to hear their message. Forgive us for our failings. Forgive us for turning our backs on our neighbors. Forgive us for the harm we out. Forgive us for the harm we cause, knowingly and unknowingly. May we become more aware of the hurts of the world around us. May we be agents of change for the building up of your kingdom here on earth, so that all will know your love, your justice, and your peace. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the words proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Sorry. Lesson from the Old Testament, Malachi 4, 1 through 6. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you, who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness and shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from stalls, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the teachings of my servant Moses, the statutes and ordinances that I command him at Horeb for all Israel. Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to the children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
would like to come up and join me here for a few minutes. And if you're worshiping online, you can get a little closer to your screens. Come on up. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you all. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. I know some of you have already gone back to school this week. It's been a busy week, hasn't it? Good morning, good morning. Wow, what a big group we have today. Welcome. I'm so glad to see you all. Well, I'm going to tell you something about myself that you may not know. I play the banjo. Have you ever seen a banjo before? It's like a guitar, sort of, but it's round and it's white. And it sounds like, it's funny. It kind of sounds funny, but I like it and I have fun. I say I play the banjo, but really I'm just taking banjo lessons. I'm still learning. Every Monday at 8:30, I get out my iPad and my banjo teacher and I FaceTime and we learn together. One of the things that I remember about the banjo is it's made to play beautiful music. And I am learning how to play it. And my teacher helps me, but I have to practice. We have to practice if we're learning an instrument. And so I'm not going to get much better if I don't practice and if I don't listen to my teacher. Yeah. Good. You have a violin. Well, we all play different instruments, don't we? So it made me think about how God made our hearts for love. You know, the banjo is made for music, and God made our hearts for love. But we have to practice. We have to practice being kind to people and saying kind things and sharing and listening and all of those things. And God is going to keep working on us to make us better and better at learning. God's always teaching us new things, just like my banjo teacher is always teaching me new things. Let's pray together. God, you have made our hearts to be beautiful instruments of love. And you're always teaching us how to love better, how to love more, how to love more fully. And we have so much to learn, and we thank you that you never give up on us and you keep teaching us. Help us always to keep learning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Miss Jennifer, right? Good. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. Thank you for being here. Maybe I can hear y'all play your instrument sometime. Not sure you want to hear me play the banjo, but... I've always been a little better at music than I am at arts and crafts. But if I were more artsy and craftsy, I would have made for us this morning a big banner that says finish line. Because we are about to cross the finish line through the Old Testament. For those of you who've been reading along since January, I know you're feeling some elation as we cross the finish line. For those of you who've been attending worship regularly since the beginning of the year, you've been along with us on this journey through the Old Testament. If this is your first time here, you've missed a great journey through the Old Testament. But stay with us because we're starting the New Testament next week. But one of the things that this gives us an opportunity to do as we cross the finish line is to stop and look back on where we've been. As we've made our way through the Hebrew Scriptures, what have we learned? What have we learned about the character of God? What have we learned about human nature? What have we learned about the relationship between us and God? And I want to take some time with Malachi, not Malachi, with Malachi as our lens to look back on some of the overarching themes of who God is and who we are that are revealed to us throughout the Old Testament. So who is Malachi? What's he talking about? When was he talking to people? Well, the little book of Malachi, which consists of 4 chapters, we have just heard from Harper the closing words of the Old Testament. The book itself is made up of about six sermonettes, where the prophet is speaking a word of the Lord to the people of God, to Israel. And he's aiming it at different people. As with many of the prophets we've heard, there are words of judgment. The prophet is speaking out on all the ways that the people of God have not been faithful to God. The first little sermonette is really aimed at the Edomites, a whole different people, who've been bad to Israel, and so God says a word of judgment to them. But the rest are aimed right at God's people, starting with the clergy, the priests. The prophet denounces them because they have been bringing their sacrifices to the temple, but not the best of what they have. They're bringing the worst of what they have, animals that are lamed or blind and not the best of the flock. They've been cheating God. The prophet judges the people for their unfaithfulness to God, their unfaithfulness to each other in their covenant relationships, how they continue to choose other gods besides the one true God. He judges the people for their failure to care for the least and the most vulnerable, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the alien in the land, continuing to call people to justice. And so we see in Malachi the same sorts of judgments and words of proclamation that we see in most of the prophets. But like the other prophets, we also hear in Malachi this word of hope right at the end, where God says, if you will just return to me, you know the way of life I have put before you in the laws and the teachings of Moses. You know the life that I call you to be in right relationship with me and with one another and with the creation. So I'm giving you another chance. Come back. And I promise the sun of righteousness will shine upon you and there will be healing in his wings and it will be the beginning of a new day. We hear this invitation like we hear in so many of the prophets. But you know what's interesting? Malachi is speaking in a different moment than many of the other prophets we've heard so far. Isaiah, Jeremiah, were speaking hundreds of years before Malachi. In those years when the Assyrian army and the Babylonian army were threatening Israel, when God was speaking words of judgment for the ways Israel had turned away from God and warning them about the consequences of their choices and their actions and promising restoration to the land, hundreds of years before Malachi. When we get to Malachi, the exile is over. The people have returned to the land. They've been restored. They've rebuilt the temple. They've rebuilt the city wall. It should be a time of celebration and renewal and right relationship. But the people are still missing the point. They're still wandering off. They're still turning away from God. And so here at the end of the Old Testament, we find a God who has not yet given up on God's people. After all that they've been through, you would think God would just say, forget it. But here, even in these last final words of the Old Testament, God is calling the people back to God. And it's what we see throughout the whole Old Testament. You know, sometimes we hear, as Christians, we hear people say the God of the Old Testament, as if God is only a God of judgment and condemnation and wrath. But if we look at God throughout the arc of the story of the Old Testament, I think we find a God of grace, of persistent love, who refuses to give up on God's people. We start with Adam and Eve. And God created them and placed them in the paradise of the Garden of Eden in perfect relationship with God and with each other and with all of creation. And then they listened to the whispering of the tempter and the voice of the serpent, suggesting that perhaps they'd be better off if they put themselves in charge instead of God, because God really can't be trusted. And so when they ate the fruit, their eyes were opened and they saw their nakedness and they were ashamed. But God did not turn away from them. Yes, there were consequences to that choice. They had to leave the garden. They couldn't abide there anymore. But God didn't say, well, good luck. Go on your way and figure it out. No, God clothed them. And God went with them out of the garden. We see it with Abraham and Sarah as God calls them and promises them that they will be the ancestors of a great nation chosen by God for a special purpose. But when the years go by and Sarah's not with child, they get impatient and they try to take matters into their own hands, and they bring in this woman named Hagar and they use her. And you can remember that whole story in Genesis 16. They make a mess of it. But God comes to them and says, we're going to figure this out. I'll work with you. I will walk with you. And we come to that moment where the people of Israel are liberated from slavery in Egypt, and they start following God through the wilderness, and days go by. Only days go by before they start complaining and wishing they were back in Egypt. We're hungry. We're thirsty. God can't be trusted. And God gets frustrated with them, but God stays with them and gives them manna and quail and water. And then God gives them the law, the way of life. And even while Moses is up on the mountain receiving that law, the people get impatient and build a golden calf and start worshiping this idol. And God doesn't give up on them. God issues the law again and continues to guide them and chastise them and discipline them and shape them and move them toward life and right relationship with God. And then we see all of the prophets and all that's happened with Israel. And here at the end of the Old Testament, God is saying, just wait. There is something coming just around the corner, and I want you to be ready. So come back to me. God never gave up on God's people, and God will never give up on us. Isn't that good news? God is not finished with us and never will be. We worship a God of persistent love, and as Bishop Carter entitled his book, Unrelenting Grace. There is always an opportunity to be renewed and forgiven and to start over. There's always an opportunity to turn back to God and turn back to the way of life. Now, Malachi makes it clear it's not always comfortable or easy to do that. You know, we hear in the prophets harsh words sometimes. And Malachi talks about how the day is coming. And who's going to be ready? Not everyone's going to be ready. And some of you may remember that chorus from Messiah, Handel's Messiah, for he is like a refiner's fire. That comes from Malachi. The one who is coming is going to burn away all that keeps us between God and ourselves, all that keeps us from loving fully. It's going to be like fuller's soap, which hurts apparently. It's like lye soap. It stings a little bit. That kind of scrubbing. And Jesus will talk about it in his teaching about the vine. I am the vine. And sometimes the vine gets pruned. Sometimes the correction that comes from God is painful. I've had a couple of experiences recently, hard conversations, where someone who loves me was able to say to me, you know, that thing that you did, that decision you made, that word that you said, came from a place of fear, or came out of your brokenness, or came out of some place in me that has not been healed. Ouch, that hurts. And my first response is to be defensive, to make excuses, to blame it on something else or somebody else. But when I can open myself enough to allow the refiner's fire to burn away those things that are causing harm to me and others, to allow the fuller soap to scrub away my ego, then the love of God can grow in me. And so the question is, are we willing? We live in a world right now where people go right to defensiveness, right to resentment. Can we be willing to be open to the correction of God, coming from a God who is beckoning us back into right relationship of love with our neighbors, with strangers, with the enemy, and love with God? It's not always a comforting word. And yet there is a promise in it that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, that we can be renewed. So we're crossing the finish line, but we are nowhere near done. God is not finished with me. God is not finished with you. God is not finished with us as a congregation. Learning to love is hard work, and it takes patience and honesty and dedication and faith and trust. And so are we ready for the day to come? Are we ready for the arrival of the one who is being sent into the world? God incarnate in the flesh, coming with healing in his wings, with renewal and hope. May we be ready. May we be open. May we be willing even to say ouch when God stretches our love muscles a little bit more. Because then we know God is with us and we are growing. Thanks be to God.
As we respond to the word, I invite you to please stand as we recite together the affirmation of faith that is found in your bulletin or on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, you can enter them in by clicking Contact Us on our website or filling out a gray card in the pew racks in front of you and placing that in the offering plate. I want to point your attention to the prayer list in the bulletin today. Please keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence in each situation. We want especially today to lift up the family and friends of David Kennard, who passed away on August 5th. A graveside service was held this past Thursday, August 10th. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. God, as we read in the psalm, today we turn our hearts to you in thanksgiving. We know that we are not here by accident, but that you have drawn us into this place to be reminded of your glory and to humble ourselves in the knowledge of who you are. Lord, we ask that you take the prayers we pray, the words we sing, and the meditations of our hearts as a thank offering for the grace and love that you have showered on us. Each and every day is an opportunity to see who you are in the faces of the people we meet and in the creation that you surround us with. By your grace, allow us to see you in the conversations we have, in the faces we look into, in the mighty trees and in the flowing rivers. Open our senses to the ways in which you connect with us. Open our hearts to be changed in those moments. Changed to be more the people you have created us to be. Oh God, in this moment of being in your presence, we acknowledge the blessing it is to be able to offer ourselves to you, as broken and incomplete as we are. We know you are working in us, walking us through difficult situations and celebrating with us when our hearts are overjoyed. And in this place where you call us to trust, we offer up to you those places in our lives, thanking you for your ever-present love and asking for a revelation of that presence with us today. You are our salvation, O God. You call us not to fear, but to trust and to follow your Spirit. And it's with that desire to rely upon you and your grace that we boldly pray as one body the words you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, while those of you here that are here in person, you may place your offering in the plates that are passed down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God who loves us unconditionally.
my friends, isn't it good news that we are not who we once were, and we are not yet who we will be, for we are all on a journey, children of light. So may we go from this place filled with the light of God's love that will never let us go, and shine it for the world, in Christ's name.